ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, po, but the ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak, and my gun might blow. But ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, po, but the ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak, and my gun might blow. But ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, po, but the ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak, and my gun might blow. But ride was long. Where do we go? Ride was long. Hey, po, but the ride was long. Where do we go? Knees getting weak, and my knee gon' be all.
Summer here in St. Louis, it's an amazing festival that takes place in Tower Grove Park. It's called Frizz Fest. It's amazing. It's all about celebrating Black women, natural beauty to inspire confidence and promote self-love. I go every year and me and Zoe have the opportunity to interview and talk to the creator, Leslie Hughes, aka Frizzy. Amazing, dope interview. I hope y'all enjoy it. Support Black women and make sure y'all check out Frizz Fest this year. All right, so this is Hip Girls Podcast. Zoe and myself, and we still have the series Support Black Women. And today we have a special guest with us. Her name is Leslie, aka Frizzy. What's up?
What's up? Hey, y'all.
What's going on?
Yeah, we are here in real time on Zoom, and we want to talk about Frizzy Movement. The first time I met her was at her festival. I didn't know it was her festival until a friend was like, pull up. I pulled up and it was beautiful. It was just like curls and curls and like sundresses everywhere. Leslie, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you from, and what made you start the Frizz Fest.
All right. Again, I'm Leslie. I'm from St. Louis, born and raised. I went to, everybody knows cares about high school in St. Louis, but I went to Wayne Wynn. I went to Luther North High School. And then I went to Mizzou for college. And then I moved to LA for a few years, and then came back to St. Louis after a few tragedies in my life, and came back to St. Louis. And that's really kind of what turned me into having the idea of Frizz Fest, because I was in a certain place, dark place, where I felt like I needed to do something for myself, really, something that will give me purpose, will make me happy. And then I came up with Frizz Fest, and I can give you the background on that if you want. It's a long story, but I can remember.
We got time. We got time today. So, I want to know, like, what made you, like, choose to do a festival that edifies Black women and their beauty?
Okay. Well, first things first, my mom passed away. My mom passed away, so that's what hit me the hardest, along with my living aunt and my grandmother. And so I moved back to St. Louis, and I was just, at this time I was, I don't know, 27 or something, I don't know, something like that. Yeah, and I was just I didn't know what to do. Like, my mom, she was my motivation. Everything I did, like, even if it was good grades, it was to make my mom proud. So every kind of movement I had, it was for her. And so now I'm in this place, I'm like, well, like, she's not here anymore. Like, what am I gonna, like, what is my purpose? Like, I've had jobs in corporate America, but that isn't really fulfilling for me. It's a job. And then so I came home and I left my brother and my sister-in-law, moving with them after moving from California. And we had a meeting on January 1st of 2017. And I was like, I have an idea. Like, I wanted to have about 30 women, rent out like an event space, and just talk about natural hair.
Like, right.
Natural hair and like questions they may have. I'm gonna have my beautician. And I'm sorry, let me go back a little bit. I wanted to do something that would make me happy because first I needed to, or I was gonna really go deep in the dark, in the dark space. And then two, like I know my mom always wanted to see me happy. So I needed to do something that would make me happy because I knew at the end of the day, I would kind of be like, justify why I was still here, I guess. And then so after thinking about a small event, I was like, no, I forget that. Let's do something big. Let's have a festival. And then, so once I got into it, I started thinking, well, you know, I'm in this place where I don't have a lot of confidence. My mom was my biggest cheerleader. Always told me how proud she was, how great I was, how beautiful I was. And I didn't have that anymore. And I knew that I was the only woman, especially Black woman, going through a time of like low lack of self-esteem, a lack of confidence. And so I wanted to kind of create something like a space where I can encourage women to feel good about themselves. And then so that's really how FrizzFest came about, and that's how we developed a mission statement. And it all just, like, to be honest, like, fell into place. And that's how I know, like, it was my purpose, you know, because I had no idea what I was doing, like, literally no idea what I was doing. And I think even when my mom passed away, brought me back to St. Louis because I knew I couldn't pull off anything like this outside of St. Louis without the help of my family and my friends. And I know that, you know, I'm from here, so I know St. Louis. So, and I also knew that this was kind of a space that St. Louis was missing, like something we didn't have anything like this in St. Louis. And then too, it came at a time, you know, everybody had a bad outlook on St. Louis. It's a bad city, a lot of killings, murders, everybody's crabs. And I wanted to kind of show like a different side of that. Like, no, like we big ass community. Like, it's love here, and I wanted to show another side of St. Louis, really.
Right.
I was gonna ask, was there anyone that may have helped to make you discouraged and, you know, maybe say that your dreams are too big when you thought of this? Because you know how they say, when you dream big and you have a real big dream, if people think you're crazy about their dream, then you're going in the right places. Was there anyone that kind of was like, wasn't too sure about it, or was not so much behind you on this path to getting the first space? Was there anyone that you knew that also kind of pushed you forward to getting there?
Like, it was really deep. Like, I was that person. Like, because, like I said, I had like huge support from the beginning, and like the people, like, I surround myself with people who I know genuinely love me and genuinely supported me and genuinely believe in me. So like, if I had any naysayers, it would have been myself, because I had no idea even the first year that it would be. I mean, that would be that big. Like, I had no, I literally rented out a small pavilion in the park, Tyro Park, that only held 120 people. So I'm like, if only my family and friends show up, like, I'm cool. So like, I think the first we had about 600 RSVPs show up. So that was like beyond me. And when I started emailing like vendors, like just like personally people I knew who had their own business. Like I didn't even ask people to sign up. Everybody's like for it in it. So I can't say that there was anybody, like I can honestly say there was nobody who doubted me or my dream. Like I really was, everybody around me was pushing me more towards it, you know? So yeah. It would, if I had to say anybody, it would be me. So I think, but I think too, that's important. That's why you just, like people ask for my advice on things like that. If you want to start something, like my advice is like, just do it. Like you can, I overthink everything. Like to the point where I'm like, I got control. Like I overthink every little thing. It's ridiculous, but at a certain time, like you can't, like if you just keep overthinking everything, you wait on everything to be perfect.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, and you learn. My thing is like just like life or anything else, it's just a lesson. So I couldn't, you know what I mean? Like I didn't, like I said, just my first event, I didn't have anything to go off of. So.
What year was that?
2017.
And you said six women came or six women RSVP'd?
600. I was telling Zoe that I had, she was asking about, was there anybody who like doubted my dream or looked at me crazy? And I was like, or any naysayers. And I was telling her it would be me. Cause I didn't think that I was blown away by the amount of people that came.
So evidently it was a need for it, right? Like you said, it was a need for it.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, everyone knows, like, they have the big natural hair festivals in, like, New York. I think they moved last year. And then they have Afropunk. Like, it's just, like, in essence, like, it's a lot of big festivals that happen all the time in bigger cities, but nothing like a natural beauty. I'm not going to, because we have great events in Bangalore, like, great things to attend, but, like, a natural beauty festival, like, celebrating natural beauty and natural hair and self-love, we didn't expect for Black women, that wasn't existing, I don't believe. Excuse me if I'm, you know, there's an event I haven't heard of or anything like that. But like you said, I knew it was a necessity because I needed it. So I knew if I needed it, somebody else did.
Like listening to, like, the more I hear you talk, it just sound like you lost a lot of matriarch, like, figures in your life. And like starting that festival was like a way to kind of like edify like sisterhood and like bring women together. And can I share something with you? So when I had took my late great aunt, she was just like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Do you know she still, well, before she passed, she was like talking about that, like she's literally on hospice, and she was telling some family had came from San Diego, and she was like, do you know my baby took me to the most beautiful festival? And I was just like, damn, like here you go, you transitioning. And she was just like bragging about how beautiful your festival was. Like she said she never seen that many beautiful Black women together in a space. So I just want to tell you that you have elders room for you. So you know you're doing something right.
I'm emotional, but thank you. Yeah, like like you said, like I don't have any aunties, I don't have a mother, I don't have a grandmother. You know what I mean? I don't have any, I've lost all of that by the age of 26. So, but I have sisters, I have sister-in-laws, I have a sister-in-law who has sisters that I all consider my sisters, they're no in-laws to me. I have a cousin who's like my older sister. I have two beautiful nieces that I know like and look up to me, and I know that I want to create a future for them. I have little girl cousins. Like it's not just about me. Like, as you said, like, even hearing you talk, tell that story, like, that's what makes me happy. Like, it's not even that it's a whole bunch of people showed up. It's not that I got so-and-so to sponsor it. It's that people come there and like leave or feeling great or inspired or motivated or in a loving, happy, positive space. Like, it's like me seeing everybody else like kind of shine in that moment is what makes me happy. Like, it's not about me at all, really. I'm just the creator of the face of it, but it's not about me.
Teardrop. No, but I mean, before I go, you want to ask something, Bree?
I was going to ask, with the festival, do you, as far as like the self-love part, because I'm really, really big on that, is there some things, like when, because I went to the festival and my experience was, it was more peaceful. It was good to see like natural products. So it was also about the self-love and to, you know, just accept who you are. But you also kind of got information from your vendors. I got a lot of information with like natural product, like body soap and things for your hair. And so I love that it was, here, take this information because you may like it. You may learn something from it. I learned a lot of things from that. And I took, you know, the products that they had and, you know, got into like more natural products. So like I'm more into more natural products now, more than ever. And 17, I think I had a baby. So I was transitioning, you know, coming off postpartum and all of that. And it was helpful for me because it was like, it was something different. It was like, be yourself. And I'm so all about self-love and like a woman is. So do you have anything as far as like from you, do you have any type of thing that you want to tell our viewers, especially women, about like self-love, like things that you can like explain or give any advice about? Because I think that is a really, really, really good topic as of right now in the climate to inform women on self-love right now.
Yeah, so like I said, like I think I've always struggled with like a lack of confidence, like and just like many other women, I've been in my fair share of toxic relationships and just with like a lot of, you know, like deaths in my family, like that. I know this sounds cliche and I know that everyone probably says this, but it like honestly starts with you. Like you cannot, you have to like figure out a way to be comfortable and happy and love yourself. And there's like there's a lot of different ways that my thing, like, I don't think I can really fully live up. I can't fully live up to my potential. I can't fully be the best I can be in a relationship with another significant other. I can't fully live up to my potential in creating these uplifting events if I don't start with myself. And I think like a lot of that, you can figure out what that means to you or how to love yourself more in a lot of different ways. And I know that we now is becoming more of a topic, but definitely therapy, because a lot of stuff starts from when you are a child that you don't even remember or understand how that is affecting you now. Also, I think something like physical, whether it's exercising, walking, yoga, I think that ties into loving yourself. You just know your body more, you feel one with your body. If you're laying around all day, you're tired, and you know what I mean? I think that's a very uplifting experience. I think also what you put into your body, what you eat, what you drink, I think that can help you come more to loving who you are. And that doesn't mean like be the most physically fit, the most abs here and abs there. But I think once you start to take care of yourself, then you start to love yourself more. And I know we talk a lot about self-care, and I want to read a quote because I watched this with Angela Davis, and it was like, I love Angela Davis, and it was amazing. And
I watched it too. It was off the chain.
Self-care, and I think that all that ties into each other. But what she said, like, I couldn't have said it in my better, and it kind of like ties into Frizz Fest. But she said, radical self-care is self-care that involves community. It is not simply individualistic, but self-care that helps us all heal. And I think that is very important, because that's why I just tried to get across to you guys, like, seeing everybody, my community, my people, Black people, happy and healing and doing great things for some dad, like, pours into me. Like, that makes me happy. I don't think that we're put on this world to just to be selfish. And I think, like, even if it's just one person, I think we're all put on this world to impact the lives or somebody. And I think that just pours back into you, because you have a purpose now too. You know what I mean? So I like I said, I think it's important. And I want to talk about Frizz Fest and self-love too. And I think Frizz Fest is less about, that's what I call a natural beauty festival. And that's like, people ask me all the time, do you have to have natural hair? And I just like always try to get that across. Like, it is not just about natural hair at all. Like, you know, piece of it, what if that's your thing, if it's not, more than we have a lot of women, like Black women, entrepreneurs who are just starting out, who have their own business. And I think that's a way, I think that's a way for them too to offer inspiration to other people too, and fulfill their purpose and fulfill their dream. But yeah, so I don't know, I've ran around in circles, but yeah, that's my answer.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. As far as the Frizz Fest, so have you ever thought about making like a support group for like women that needs like that one-on-one attention, or small attention to them, to, you know, to maybe uplift and things like that? Have you thought about having like a support group, like a Frizz Fest support group that can also like help you out at your Frizz Fest at the same time? You know, like, oh, this is my support group, we meet up every quarterly and we talk about this, but they also are part of your Frizz Fest. I think that would be dope.
That is a good idea. Definitely a good idea. And then when you talk about support group, there's a lot of, you know, as I had mentioned one, like, that's not my expertise too. Like, I'm thinking you're talking about, at first I thought you were going to the place for support group for people who are suffering from a lack of self-confidence or self-love, or in a bad place, or a loss of a mother, things like that. That's not really my expertise, and I want to, I'm trying to teach somebody how to go about certain things the right way. I don't want to know about it, but I have not, but definitely we, the next coming Frizz Fest, when that may be, we definitely want to create more aspects of mental health and emotional health as well. And so that's definitely like something that we've been thinking about, and how we can incorporate that into future events. But for a Frizz Fest support group directly, no, I have not thought about that.
So that's a good segue, Bree. Since we have COVID, like, we really not post-COVID, but we kind of are post-COVID. But right now, we have still kind of like the social distancing along with the riots. What does Frizz Fest look like during this pandemic and this protest? Like, what are you doing? I seen that you had signs, but I want you to kind of like talk more about, you know, what's to come.
Okay, me personally, if y'all don't feel this, it's a three-person team. It's me and my sister-in-law and my brother, really. And then, of course, I have...
Wait. We're not going to downplay that. Say their name.
Valerie Hughes and Ricky Hughes, and I'm Leslie Hughes. So.
Shout out to them.
Oh, I know them.
Yeah.
I call them the happy family.
Yeah,
so that's happy family. They are hella happy. I love it.
My brother, and he married my lovely friend. We became friends out of a week. That's my friend first. So we was like perfect family. So they literally helped me do everything. And so we have, like, personally, like, I use my voice on social media. Like, I know it's way more than social media posts, but I make sure it's very aware that I'm full support of all the people who are out protesting and fighting to make a change. Here for all the people with bail support. Like, I am fully here for it all. And I attended a rally just to make sure my voice is heard. We recently created, I know with the protests comes some downfalls with the destruction of some businesses. Unfortunately, I that's just an effect of a cause. But so we've created like signs for Black businesses to put in their window or in their yard as one, a shield of protection. Hopefully they may prevent someone from feeling the want or the urge to break a window or tear down or anything like that. Also, a symbol of solidarity, show that, hey, I'm a Black business, I'm with y'all, I support y'all. And then also, if someone happens as a means of support, like if someone has to be driving past and they see that it is a Black-owned business, that may, turn them in the direction to eat at that restaurant or shop at that clothing store or go to that salon. So, I just think at this time too, it is important to protect our community because these are the places that are putting food back into Black people's mouths. You know what I'm saying? This is money that's circulating in our community. So we need to protect them too. So that's another thing that has like kind of a little bit uplifted my spirits in this like traumatic time because it's terrible, but. And then two, we've, I won't announce exactly what it is yet, but we kind of pushed our Frizz Fest this year and we're going to do something a little different. That kind of will just kind of tie into more about that unity and self-care and self-love. And
trying
to get the scoop.
Can we get the exclusive?
No, we something a little different. It won't be the all out full fest, and then also too, like it's something more that people will feel more safe and comfortable with the social distancing and COVID, and you know, and the exchange of a lot of products and things like that. So we're taking all that to account and going to mix it up a little bit this year.
So we having Frizz Fest this year.
We having Frizz Fest ish this year.
All right. Okay. So that's exciting.
Yes, it is. I'm very excited.
That's exciting.
It's something that we had talked about doing, like incorporate like another event, and like it's so crazy, like how things just work out or certain. Mm-hmm. I know some things just should never happen, but I always say like one of my sayings is like everything happens for a reason because. The way like stuff plays out is sometimes it's just like, dang, like that's crazy. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't even understand it sometimes, you know? So yes, I don't want to take away anything from what this whole year has been because it's been like crazy. But what happened this year kind of evolved our, like, a plan that we had in the past that we never got to, that we hadn't had a chance to kind of follow through with, and now this is the opportunity that we can, so.
So how can our listeners support you, or how could they see more about what's to come, since you kind of, like, didn't really, you kind of, like, said this and that. I want to know, so I'm going to just say this. So people can expect Frizz Fest-ish type event this year. So they need to follow you, right? And they need to follow your page, Frizz Festival.
I have a few. I'm Frizzy by Nature. That's my personal page. I also post everything about Frizz Fest and stuff. I'm Frizzy by Nature on Instagram, or Frizz Fest on Instagram. I'm Leslie Nicole. That's my personal page on Facebook. And you can also follow my Facebook pages of Frizz Fest and Frizzy by Nature. So they're all the same names.
Okay, cool. Right. So one more question, and I'm not going to hold you up. Me and Zoe not going to hold you up. So a lot of the festival, and a lot of it I hear, is about self-love, a safe space for Black women of color, right? And I got to talk about the hair. What does it mean to have, you remember my hair? Like, it was like low, and now it's like big. Could you tell us about, like, what products you use? What is it about hair? Why hair? Natural hair.
Okay, I'm gonna say this again. First, this is not all about natural hair.
But we have, wait.
I'm just saying, natural hair is...
It's a part of it though, right?
Part of it, because it's like in its truest form of real reflection of you and who you are. Like, it's natural, it grows in your body, however it may be, whatever texture may be, it's you, it's a part of you. And then I think too, I think in society, it brings you to think that sometimes it's not okay to rock your natural hair, whether that's in your workplace, it's not professional, it's elite looking. So I think, like, women, and sometimes it takes a lot of confidence to wear your hair.
Because a lot of people complain about it.
I wasn't always there, you know what I'm saying? And, like, we all, from a young age, for your school pictures, get that present girl for Easter. So we're taught from a young age, like, straighter, less textured hair is the beauty standard. So I think so that in itself, I feel like, is a form of self-love and a true form of self-expression. So that's why, like, hair ties into it too. And I think too, for me personally, like, it resonated with me because when I cut off, got rid of my relaxed ends, my relaxed hair, like, that's when I finally feel like some way I was myself. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I just felt like, okay, I am who I'm, you know, later on when I figured out I wasn't there yet, but at that moment, I felt like free, you know what I'm saying? I did that right before I moved to California, but I'm ready to take on, like, I don't know, it's kind of like a sense of freedom at that point, so... what do I do with my hair? People ask all the time. What I love about natural hair is I don't have to do a lot to it. Like,
Do you put avocados? Have you tried the avocado?
I use Camille Rose that has avocado in it.
Okay.
But yeah, I like my hair when it's bigger and frizzier and hasn't been touched in a few days or a few weeks. I like it when it looks like that the best. So that's what I love about natural hair. Like, I like when it does its own thing. I think that's when it's
beautiful. But, like, I think it's really important that, like, we share these stories about, like, the big chop, about how we felt when we first cut our hair. Like, I cut my hair, like, years ago when I was in college, but I remember how liberating it was. Like, I was like, I felt good. Like, I'm cutting off European standards of what defines to them what beauty is. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I remember talking to a group of girls, and I mean, I'm landing on them heavy. And the only the question they asked me was like, what do you put in your hair? How does your hair come out like that? And I'm like, I'm talking to y'all about my book, but they wanted to know about my, they wanted to know about my hair. But that symbolizes self-love. That symbolizes confidence. So I think it's important that we share these stories about our hair, because children, they peep it. They look at everything.
Oh yeah, like I said, I have nieces, not they like my little, I call them my little stepkids, so I love them so much. But yeah, like I have like nieces, and we like, man, when she wear her fro out, we like all like, I'm off, like I'm like making sure I give her triple compliments. And I just want to say, like, that's one of the questions like I really don't like so much, is when people say, I want my hair to look just like yours, what do you put in it? Because I think that's fair too, because everybody's hair is different. So I can give you a rundown of exactly what I use, the steps I do it in exactly, but that doesn't mean it won't turn out exactly like mine. You know what I mean? And like, in a sense, I'm like, you should want your hair to look like yours. Right. You know what I'm saying? Or if you want to try a different style, you want to tame it a little bit, then you got to figure out, that's what you figure out what works best for you, not what works best for somebody else. You know what I mean? Like,
I dig that, because it's like you are the festival. Like, you empower people, right? And so you just told me the answer that I tell the girls next time, because I should have said that, but I didn't think about that.
I mean, and I think it's fine. Like, I'll tell you what I use. Like,
I have no problem. Just being honest.
Don't be disappointed if it's not going to look like mine. And I really don't like it, too, when it's like, when people kind of, because maybe they have like a different texture, because like makes me like that. I'm like just because my hair might curl a little differently or be a little, I don't know, have a more definition or something, doesn't mean that that's better or that's what you should aim for. Like, I like that kind of, it does, like when people say things like that, it kind of does like make me feel a little weird, because I'm like, your hair is just as beautiful how it is. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's just like a kind of like, yeah, there's still layers to natural hair, you know, too, because, you know, like it's just like there's layers to being black and colorism, and then there's texturism. I make that work.
That's something I'm learning about. I'm actually kind of learning about that now. But I really think it's from a pure place. Like, when, like, little girls be like, how your hair get like that? Like, I feel like they...
But then you do have... Totally. Like, and some people just want to know what you use. Like, I ask people what they use all the time. Me and my friends, I always share recommend products with each other. But I'm just saying more so if someone's like, I don't like how kinky my hair is. How do I get it to be less like, you know what I mean? Like, I think, like I said, like, I think that is the beauty of natural hair. Like, it's all different. I think it's all beautiful. And I think that's just like an underlying thing in society, that it kind of puts levels on what hair type is better than what. Like, even the naming can be like a 4C, a 4, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
No idea what hair type is. I don't think that, I don't know what that matters, maybe only when you're choosing a hair product, but just another way to kind of, you know,
separate.
Yeah,
that's true. Bri, looked like you wanted to say something.
I was thinking, because I always used to get that when I had my real, like my longer hair. Even my little sister, she would always say, how do you get your hair so long? Or, your hair is like the white people. She used to say it all the time. And I used to be like, it used to feel weird to me. And even when I just cut my hair now, because I'm going to cut it shorter next year.
I like it like that.
People was like, why would you cut your hair? And I'm like, it's like you said, it's very liberating, but it's also changed for me. It's like something's changing within me. I'm on a different frequency. I'm cutting loose ends. I'm just cutting things. It's a new layer of me. So a lot of people was like confused as to why I cut my hair, and I'm just like, well, hair still grows back, and like, I'm not missing anything. Like, I just always, like you said, it always kind of felt weird to me, because a lot of people used to, you know, think I was mixed. Like, they always try to make it seem like I'm like exotic, and I'm like, no, my family is from Arkansas, well, Alabama, and they're from Huntsville area. I'm Black. That's pretty much it. So it always felt weird to me in the community, well, the Black community, that they always try to put you in a type of category because of how your hair is, and try to define you differently than what you really are. So it always become like a reflection of them because they don't really know their history, maybe. And it, like you said, it's just a weird place. And I just was like, when you said that people just used to say that, and they still do. And I just never understood why people was so, like, why people are so fascinated by hair, like certain kinds or the way it looks.
I got another quote, y'all.
bring them quotes.
They speaking to me, but it like ties into like what we're talking about now. But so the quote is, we focus far too much on physical appearance and internalized standards of beauty that we have that have nothing to do with beauty. Beauty is about freedom. It's about liberation. It's not just about surface physical appearance. And I think like that like ties into what we all have just said. I think it ties into what Fred's Fest is about. I think it ties into what how we should feel about beauty as a community, as a whole. Like, cutting your hair shouldn't get a, like you said, like, every time I did a big chop, it was my mom had. So obviously that was a complete new spectrum of my life. And I
didn't know you cutting your hair.
It was
I loved it. I like short hair, personally. Yeah. My mom was like that. She's a short hair person. She doesn't really care for hair like that. She's low cut, fuzz, afro. She's that type of person. So I've always idolized that more than long hair, honestly. It's just the fact that I was just growing out my hair because there was nothing to do with it. But yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's all I just learned, like what we taught as kids, or what we see in the media, or what you know, European beauty standards. So I think it's just like our job as Black women to just change that notion. And like, it's not about your skin color, like what light, dark, middle, whatever, or hair texture, or long or short. It's really like, beauty is about who you are from the inside and how you treat other people. Like, and that's really it. You know what I mean? Like, some of the most beautiful people in the world can be the most ugly people in the world. Like, depending on who you are as a person. I just think we put too much and we spend too much money on our beauty.
Can I give a little pushback? Oh, I'm sorry about that. I agree with everything you said. And I also want to talk about how I think it's important how we take those opportunities and we turn them into teachable moments, right? And we turn them into moments to empower. So it's like, you know, even though somebody's saying something and they kind of giving you a compliment, but it's kind of condescending, like, it's kind of like, nice, nasty, like, you cut your hair, you shouldn't cut your hair. I like it though. And then you take that as a teachable moment. I think that really takes some type of inner strength. And so I commend both of y'all for that. Because that's something I'm working on. I'm working on a poker face because I say something, but I look a different way. So I'm working on that. But I also don't want to downplay beauty. Like, I feel like when you look at like ancient Egypt and ancient Kemet, and you look at all the walls and the queens and the women, they took pride in edifying their beauty. I mean, we talking about the makeup, the extensions, like all of that, the gold, all of that came from just being royal. I mean,
go ahead.
No, but I'm saying, like, the reason you got so many followers, the reason you got so many followers is because y'all beautiful women and you take pride in being beautiful, right? And little girls, I'm all about empowering the youth. Little girls see that. So it's like when you take care of yourself, that's a form of self-love. Like, you can't be saying self-love, self-love, and you ashy and crusty. So, no, I'm keeping it a buck. Like, Bree, you know, I work with foster kids.
Right.
And when I drop them, give them clothing vouchers, and they see how I'm wearing my hair, like, they be wanting to be around me because of how I'm preserving myself. Like, I don't eat meat. I'm real careful about the things that I put in my body and on my body. And it shows. It's like an inner light. So I think it's important that we talk about beauty tips and don't downplay that, because that's important.
I don't know if I said that anyway, but no, I totally agree with you. And I don't think, and the makeup and the clothing and the jewelry, I don't see no problem with we women. And some of us are a woman's woman, and we like, ain't nothing wrong with that. I like to dress up, and I like to look cute, and I like to
love to dress up.
I think my only thing is when it comes where you doing things to hide who you really are because you don't like yourself.
Okay.
Okay. Understandable. Yeah, like how they do the fake big toe.
What?
I don't
understood it. I was talking about that today. I'm like, it's so off topic, but I was like, what's the point of a fake big toenail? Are you trying to make it look a certain way, or what's wrong with your natural big toe that makes you want to say, I want to put a fake big toenail on my real toe? It just never made sense to me. So a lot of people don't never have an answer for it. I was like, okay, so I understand if like your toenail was like off, or like you had like this on you or something like that. Understandable, but these are people that don't have those things. So what part of beauty makes you want to put a fake toenail on top of your real nail? What's the difference? Why? What are you looking? What are you trying to do? It's just weird to me. I don't know. It's just funny.
A month now, so I don't know. Well, I don't know. Doing this pandemic and COVID, man, I think I've been coming way too comfortable with not having to put on makeup or get my nails. I don't know. I'm like, not getting my eyebrows done. They going in great. I'm enjoying this time right now.
No, okay, just for clarification, like, I see it is a balance between, like, you know, preserving and keeping yourself up, because I mean, you are what you attract, right? But I think it's important what you said is, like, you just solely don't rely on your physical features, and you're not investing in your character, and you become like a slave to narcissism and materialism. Right. And we are in that age where you just have, like, I call them dials. Like, they just IG dials. They spend all day trying to, like, put on
personality.
Yeah, they just, like, just dull, just flat.
I don't like that either.
Flat.
I've been trying to push that narrative to get people to become more, like you said, how you say you was more emotional and you're more, like, you're more aware. A lot of people aren't aware of the things that they do and the things that they set out on the internet. And so it's a disconnect to a lot of them. And so a lot of people, like you said, are dull. They don't have any type of spark. Like, you know how some people can see you for one day and or talk to you for one day and they can be like, know so much about you, and they so astounded, they so inspired, so motivated. A lot of people, not a lot, but some people are like surface level.
And I think that just like comes with as people who are on social media, we just have to know that, like, that's what they're there for. Like IG, you know, not to like try and change your life to be like them or look like them or look for them for inspiration. Like, that's what they're there for, and they're there to sell clothes. And if we don't take too much, you know, if we don't, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, if we, my thing is with, like, the different IG models and everybody having the same look. I think that we have generations beneath us, or even our generation, that look at that and think that is what we should strive for. And then that, but that's not, it's not attainable, because I think a lot of, I hate to say, I don't want to fit anybody, but I think a lot of people like that aren't really happy with themselves either. So to try and strive.
Hold on, wait, what Kanye say though? The people highest up got the lowest self-esteem. The prettiest people do the ugliest things. So, and then he married Kim.
Shut up!
Fuck.
Oh, God.
No, we can be honest on this show.
There's no such thing as perfection. So, like, if that's what you're striving for, you're never going to get it. You're never going to be happy.
Yeah, you always drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, you strive to learn. You strive to always grow, become a better person. That's where you'll find peace. But trying to be perfect, like, I don't even know what perfect is. Like, I can't look at a person and be like, she or he is perfect. You know what I mean? I don't even know what that even looks like.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of like wrap it up with some recipes.
No.
When I say recipes, I'm talking about like, so you remember like your grandma, they make gumbo and they make jambalaya, and it's like a healing food, right? But I'm talking about metaphorically, like, what does your regimen or your routine look like for self-love or self-beauty? Like, what does that look like? Like, for me, I like to tell people tangible things. Like, I put coconut oil on my face. Maybe it's genetics, I don't know. I'm very conscious about what I eat, you know what I'm saying? I drink a lot of water, I try to get rest, I hike. Like, I feel like a lot of what we're talking about is a lifestyle. It's not just, I mean, it's an event too, but the event is more like a celebration of people who've been very conscious about self-love and preserving themselves, right? So can you tell us a little bit about, like, I know you're reading a book right now. I know you do your smoothies. Like, tell us hands-on things that you do, recipes.
Oh, okay. I like to read. I got like 3 different books. Like, I suck at finishing them sometimes, but I like to read. I definitely eat healthy as much as I can. I'm like,
are you a vegetarian? Are you a vegan?
I'm like I'll be messing up sometimes, y'all. But for the most part,
it's okay. I do too.
All right. Time I have a plant-based diet. I will eat, for some reason, I'm like hooked on catfish right now. Like, I don't know what, but I've been eating catfish.
Where you get your catfish from?
I love catfish.
Hold on, wait, where you say you get it from?
In the county.
House Schnucks in the county. I'm gonna text you a good spot. Cause I eat catfish every Friday. Like,
it's a different kind of place if you fry it too hard, and mine has to be meat. Like, I don't like the real crusty, and they don't have a lot of meat. So anyway, so most of the time, 90% of the time, I say 95% of the time, I'm a plant-based diet. I eat smoothies and vegetables and whole grains, all that good stuff. I don't drink anything except water, coffee, or tea. I love coffee. And I like to be active. I love working out, going to the gym. I used to do a lot of group classes. Like, back in the day, I did CrossFit. I loved it. I've done boxing before. I ran a half marathon when I lived in LA. So I like to be active. I like to get outside. Three Four Lake is the perfect place to go. I love Tower Road Park. And there's a shop park right across the street from me. I'm going to walk around. So definitely being outside. Family is my number one thing. But so really, I spend time with my family and around the people that make me happy and know me. You know, like, I've said them that probably 3 times. I have 2 little nieces that, like, literally, like, make me happy, that it brings, like, tears to my eyes. Like, I love them, and I spend as much time with them as I can. Yeah, also I have to take social media breaks every now and then. And then I think also like one thing that has really made me happy is obviously Friends Fest. So I would just encourage somebody, everybody to find something that they are passionate about and they like doing outside of your 9-to-5, if your 9-to-5 doesn't bring you complete happiness like that. If you know, if you're going to work for a paycheck and things like that, find something. You don't have to find a side hustle or make money off of it, but something that like, you know, makes you happy and kind of takes you away from all the evil that's going on in the world right now. Yeah. That's all I got.
Well, I would say that's a good recipe. If anything, you're right about like finding something outside of your job that makes you happy. A lot of people are so tied up into like, you know, a hustle, and they don't really, how can I say this? They're tied up into a hustle, but it's only to make quick money. It's not really something they may be passionate about or have a desire for. So it still lacks them knowing, you know, who they truly are. But I would say I'm all for that, and I want my listeners to know that we only want you to be your true self. We want you to love yourself. We want you to, you know, do things that matter to you and things that can, you know, help you and further yourself, you know, within whatever, if it's within a year, a couple weeks, a month, or whatever. We just want everyone to really love themselves and love their community. We're in this rough time. It's so tense. Like, every day it's been tense for us. So, especially Black people. And now is the time to really set in stone, you know, what you want to do, how you want your life to look, and moving forward and, you know, fighting for things that you want in life. So I'm going to give it to Aza to wrap it up. But that's just my take on it and my advice. So, yeah.
Yeah, Malik got in the bed. Malik got in the bed with me. But I think it's important, like what she said and like what I was saying, is like, treat this as a lifestyle. And we are in like turbulent times where Black survival is very important. Like, Black people are literally like dying and our lives are being taken. So I feel like we should tighten up even more when it comes to self-preservation. Like, that's what I'm really passionate about, self-preservation, eating, wellness, emotional health. And that's why I invited Leslie, because not only is she throwing an event, but she lived by it, right? And I just think it's important that we really taking like rituals and routines. Like, when I wake up, this is what I'm doing. When I go to sleep, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I did want to ask her before Malik got all in my face, is it an affirmation you can share with our audience?
Put me on the spot.
That's what I do.
Affirmation. I would just say, I want to give this out to my listeners too, because there is this group called Beautiful Chorus, and I listen to them on Spotify.
Beautiful. Say this again.
Beautiful Chorus.
Okay.
Really, it's a lot of mantras and affirmations. And I just listen to the playlist like during the day. So their latest playlist is Hymns of Spirit, and I love it. And then, so one of theirs is, I think it's Lord, Please Give Me Inner Peace. And I think inner peace is something that is essential right now. and just like, yeah, as you both have described, like, these times are just, man, can get the best of you and really bring you down and really take you out of character. And I think that is really important. And I think that's like, once you get that down and have that, that's something no one can take away from you. So, I would just say, inner peace, and definitely check out that site. And then also add to your, now I've been trying to like fall asleep to these meditation affirmations at night on YouTube. And I, you know, cause I am the most angry I've ever been. I probably been going on and like my mind is all over the place. And so just like listen to different positive affirmations. And someone had recommended to me to play this playlist. It's on YouTube and I just play it while I sleep.
Does it help? Because it's hard for me to listen. I don't always end up looking at a show or listening to a lecture. I'm finding out.
Fall asleep. I can't go to sleep with TV on or
nothing. Me neither.
Like, I'll be overstimulated. Do y'all feel like y'all overstimulated?
Yeah. I'm overstimulated. I can't, like, I just.
That add to my stimulation. So it's like, I'd rather not have nothing.
Yeah, but sometimes if I don't have nothing, I'm like too busy. Like it's too much going on in my, too much noise
in your head.
So like,
do you journal?
On and off.
Can I make a suggestion?
Journal.
Look at this.
My little notes and stuff. So
okay,
if I have a quote or hear something, I write it down. But no, I definitely need to be more consistent with journaling. I know that helps too.
So
ways, different things, and I don't want to even come on here and pretend like I'm the best, because even with COVID, even with all this a lot of racial tension, and even working from home, it's really hard to set a routine and keep it. Because things are all over the place right now. So I definitely need to do work myself. So like I said, like I'm on the same journey with everybody else. I, in no way, shape, or form do I have it all together or all figured out or anything like that. So me helping other people is really you guys helping me too. So
yeah. I think that's the beauty of it, right? Like your vulnerability. Like Black people in general, like, we're very vulnerable right now on a world stage. So I think maybe me and Zoe, we need to talk about this, how we can create something as to where we checking in on each other. I mean, because when you think about it, they call it trauma porn. Like, you seeing that shit 24/7. Like, what is that doing to your psyche?
I yelled at today, like I wake up and I want to know what's going on. Like, I'm like, and I was told, like, you gotta do, like, that cannot be the first thing that you do, is open up your phone or check it or anything like that. Because as of recently, that's what I've been doing. I've been, like, waking up and checking the news and checking my email.
I mean, because you want to stay informed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we have so much hope right now, because we're, like, hoping for the best and we want justice, we want this. So it's like, okay, am I doing enough to add to the justice and the results? So that's, for me, that's the thing too. It's like, okay, I want to do so much to be involved, to change the world. So every day we're checking to see if we made progress, you know, and things like that. So I think, like you said, it is overstimulating. It becomes overwhelming. But we just have so much hope right now. We're in the midst of this big change and this whole thing of trying to make things right for us in our community and our race. I think it's meant for us to be this way right now. Just because once all of this is settled a little, we can also enjoy the fruit of it. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing so much right now for it. And I I have a feeling that there's a little more that will come about for us in a good way. And I think we will be able to enjoy this moment in this hard work that we're doing right now for everything. I think it will all work out for us.
People too don't give themselves enough credit for what they do. I don't think they realize how much they are doing, and I think kind of put themselves down because they feel like they aren't doing enough. And I think it's important to like take care of yourself and your sanity during this time too. And even if it's signing a petition or you telling your child what's going on and teaching them our history, that's a good start in itself. You don't have to be every day with the protesters. Great, huge kudos to those who are, there's people for everything. You know what I mean? There's for everything, every field, and whether it's going out to vote, signing petitions, donating to bail funds, teaching your children, teaching yourself. Like, I think that I just don't want people to focus too much on what they're not doing rather than what they are.
And just to add to your point, there's many ways to skin a cat. And I feel like it's counterproductive when we like, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. When you have to just realize, like, and I practice gratitude, that's been like extremely helpful for me. Like, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful. I got a little garden out there and my son kiddie pool. I practicing gratitude's been great for me. But I also want us to realize about like the small victories, like waking up, going to work for people that you know not align with, don't, but that takes, man, I'm just thinking about like, I have Zoom meetings like back to back, and I have to put on a mask. Like, mm-hmm. I have to act like I'm not bothered, you know? That in itself is traumatizing because it's like, I have to act like I'm not human and I don't have feelings and I'm oblivious to what's going on so I can appeal to my employer, right? That's systematic. That's a form of systematic oppression. So it's imperative that we keep creating these spaces and we tell these stories. I'm very passionate about taking my sons. I took my sons out there as a case study. That's not where we fit in. We fit in more with the educational side, but it's more, you know, it's different roles to be played. And as long as you know what you have to do and what your skill sets is, then that's important. And I want to thank you for coming on, for joining us. Is there anything else you want to add? You can put your plugs in one more time. And you were great. You were a great guest. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I don't have much to say. I want to thank y'all for having me on here. Anytime I can share my experience or be open to kind of help anybody, even if it's just one person, I'm all for it. So thank y'all for having this platform, for allowing me to speak and other women like me and other Black people within the community. I just want to say I love y'all. Take care of yourself. Spend time with the people that you love and care about. Never take anything or anybody for granted, because life is truly, 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 truly. I love y'all. We'll be back. We'll see y'all in a couple months. I'll let y'all know what's going on. Follow me on Frizzy by Nature or FrizzFest on Instagram, Frizzy by Nature, or FrizzFest or Leslie Nicole on Facebook, or send me an email at frizzy@frizzybynature.com. That's it.
Boom, boom, boom. Hey, y'all enjoy yourselves this evening. Are you going out to the protests?
I'm in for the night curfew about to come, you know. I fully commend people who go out at night and when it's rough and when the police are out doing tear gas, but that's not my role, as you had said. I'll be out during the day doing what I hate.
Me too.
You ain't the street walker.
That's not me, but shout out to everybody.
All right, I love y'all. I love y'all. Black women, support Black women. And we look forward to more people being on this show. And y'all keep being beautiful and powerful. Peace out.
All right, bye y'all.
Bye.